Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. The entrance of the word brings light and clarity this morning. Our lives, our minds are transformed by the preaching of the word of God. We see clearly as we ought to see in the name of Jesus. For every soul, every man, every woman, boy, girl sitting under the sound of this voice, your life will not remain the same. You are steered unto good works, even as you listen in the name of Jesus. You are steered to pursue spiritual maturity as you ought to in the name of Jesus. Your zeal, your passion will not wane in the name of Jesus. You recover your zeal and your passion after this broadcast. Thank you, Father. And your life would shine as a light in this dark world and give God all the glory. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen and amen. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives have been transformed by the preaching of the word of God. Hallelujah. And you know, we've been studying on spiritual growth and what it looks like. What exactly does spiritual growth look like? What exactly is spiritual growth? How do I judge whether I'm growing as a Christian? How do I know whether I'm growing as a Christian? We have said a great deal of things concerning these things. Hallelujah. And I'll just make progress from where we stopped yesterday. So I began to sound the note of warning yesterday on how to not short-sightedly or myopically judge people who are spiritual because of a display of spiritual gift. That a man is charismatic does not mean he's spiritual. Hallelujah. And the word spiritual there is used in the context of growth. Galatians in chapter 6, verse 1, Bible says, brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. So there's a connotation of being spiritual in the context of maturity. Hallelujah. The fact that a man is, imagine, the fact that a man is spiritual, working in spiritual gifts, doesn't mean he's spiritual. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean he's mature in the faith. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. And I, brethren, when I came to you, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. Again, you see the word spiritual is used in the context of maturity. So I said yesterday, make no mistake about it. Never judge people's spirituality. Never judge people's maturity in the faith based on being charismatic. Because a man is charismatic does not mean anything. Hallelujah. Or the only thing it means is that it's just charismatic. The fact that a man is given to the flow of the Spirit, expressing the things of the Spirit, does not mean he's charismatic. Does not mean he's spiritually mature. Only means the man is charismatic. Praise God. So we must look out for things that, you know, show spiritual maturity. Glory to God. I've seen Christians who, talking in tongues, walking in the power of the Spirit, casting out demons, doing the work of ministry, so passionate for Jesus, who cannot even take correction. You correct the man, and for many days or several weeks, the mood of the person just changes. Hallelujah. The mood just changes. His disposition, his relationship with you just changes. The man is holding back. He's not communicating anymore. He's angry, nursing grievances, and all that. That is a trait of spiritual immaturity. A mature believer is one that takes corrections and responds well to rebukes. Hallelujah. If you are a Christian and you are struggling with the idea of being corrected, you don't like being corrected. You know, in my culture, they say, and what that means is that you don't like it when people talk to you about your flaws, about your attitude. When someone says, yeah, this thing you are doing is wrong, and they correct you, it just changes your mood. Now, I understand nobody likes correction as it is. Nobody enjoys being corrected. Sometimes not because you are proud or you are arrogant, just because of the fact that you feel disappointed. You shouldn't have done that. I mean, you should know better than this. You shouldn't be corrected before you know these things. But then, I'm talking about people who are always defensive. People who always respond with a bad and terrible attitude. Once you are corrected, your demeanor, your countenance just changes. And then you are almost walking in malice if you are not. Hallelujah. Walking in malice and bitterness towards the person. It's a bad attitude. It's a wrong trait. And sometimes over the years, I've always I've always vouched and suggested and recommended people for spiritual leadership who who seem not to even be very charismatic. They don't have the charisma. They are not really, you know, there. When the person is even communicating or preaching and teaching, he knows what he's meant to say, but he's not as charismatic or fireful. Hallelujah. Permit the word. You can't see fire in the way he presents the word of God. Hallelujah. But then the man knows the scriptures. He knows what he's saying. He knows what he's saying. Are you aware that Apollos was more eloquent and was more gifted with respect to presentation, speaking, preaching, than the man Paul? Hallelujah. Paul says, I'm untrained in speech, but I'm not in knowledge. But Apollos was eloquent in speech, such that even while he was presenting, all that he was teaching and saying concerning the gospel was about the baptism of John, he was saying it with such audacity and charisma. Hallelujah. Sometimes I recommend and suggest a man who is not as charismatic to be a leader over somebody else who is so charismatic, because I'm seeing traits of spiritual maturity. I'm seeing evidences of spiritual maturity. There are people you correct and they'll take corrections and they'll just adjust. They'll thank you for it and they move on and they get better by the day. There are others you correct and their countenance just changes. Hallelujah. They don't like to be talked to. They don't like any form of rebuke, any form of correction. Such is a trait of spiritual immaturity. So no matter how charismatic you are, if you don't have such a trait of being responsive to corrections, of receiving instructions, of being submissive to rebukes, and then when you are corrected, your countenance doesn't change, and you don't become petty, you don't get funny and become arrogant. I'm sorry, no matter how charismatic you are not growing in the faith. Hallelujah. Because spiritual maturity is about conduct. Praise God. It's about how you conduct yourself. There's a childlike attitude. There's a childlike disposition. There's the humility of the spirit. There's the meekness by which you conduct yourself. We can see it in your life transparently. It is so evident. We can see it. You are maturing in the faith. Hallelujah. Look at this carefully. Galatians chapter 5. So salvation gives us the spirit. At salvation, we have the fullness of the spirit. Galatians chapter 4. And verse 6, Bible says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. We are sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus, and we have the gift of the indwelling spirit. He says, because you are sons, you have the spirit of sonship. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, 16, 17. Bible says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Hallelujah. And if children of God, then we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also reign with him together. So we are children of God. We have the spirit of God by virtue of the new birth, by virtue of our salvation. So we are sons of God. Hallelujah. In fact, Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, if any man does not have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you can't say, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, but I don't have the spirit of God. Every child of God, everyone born of God has the spirit of God. It's a mark, it's a distinguishing mark or factor. Hallelujah. That's what sets you apart from every other person. That's what sets you apart from an unbeliever. If an unbeliever is without the spirit, a believer cannot be without the spirit. The difference is that the man who is in Christ has the spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 9, Bible says, but you are not in the flesh, if so be that the spirit of God dwells within you, and if any man does not have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Praise God. So we have received the spirit at the new birth. We are born of God. We have the fullness of God. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, Bible says, in him you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:13. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Every believer has the Spirit of God. Spiritual growth, however, is about the believer bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We must see the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It must be evident. We must see the fruit of the Spirit. So look at Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Galatians in chapter 5. Fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of spiritual maturity. The indwelling spirit without fruits is the evidence of salvation. The day a man receives salvation, the day a man is saved, he becomes a new creature. He may not have anything to show for it with respect to conduct, but he's saved because he has the seal of the spirit. However, in spiritual growth, we must begin to see the fruit of the spirit he's been sealed with. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Look at this now carefully. Galatians chapter 5, I'll read from verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So it shows you that there will be a conflict. There's a constant conflict, a wrestling. There's a contradiction, so to speak, within. Hallelujah. From within the man, you know, as opposed to the ways of the world. So there's a contradiction. There's a fight. The world is trying to pull you to its ways. The Spirit of God on the inside is trying to drag you to obey God and to fulfill the will of God. So there's a conflict. Your body is neutral. Hallelujah. Your body can be used to serve the things of the Spirit. Your body can also be used to serve the ways of the world. So your body is just under. Hallelujah. And you can submit it to any of these influences. The Spirit or the flesh. Christ or the world. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 to 2. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So you can present your bodies a living sacrifice, only acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service, or you can yield your body as instrument of unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's conformity to the world that is still possible for the Christian, because he has a faculty that can carry out the desires of this world. He has his mind, and he has a physical body that can fulfill the desires of the flesh. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 6. So you can yield your body to the world or to Christ. You can submit your body to the flesh or to the Spirit. Romans in chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Bible says from verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Have you seen? So you can present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, or as instruments of righteousness to God. Hallelujah. Back at Galatians chapter 5. Glory to God. Bible says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries. So you see, these are traits found in the flesh. These are things found in the world. A believer that is exhibiting this kind of attitudes, though he's so charismatic, though he talks in tongues for 10 hours, though he prays for 10 hours, and he goes for evangelism for 20 hours, and he's in church doing Bible study for 20 hours, if he's not showing these attitudes, he's yet to mature in the faith. He may be on the way to growth. Hallelujah. No, because if you spend time with the word of God, you are meant to grow. So he may be on the journey to spiritual maturity, but if these are the traits he's exhibiting and manifesting, then he's yet to grow as a Christian. Hallelujah. The opposite of this is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. Hallelujah. Now let me quickly clarify something. Verse 21, envies, murders, drunkenness, I tell you, and the like, of which I tell you before, and just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now this is not saying that when a believer is found practicing these things, he will not inherit the kingdom of God. The believer is already in the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 verse 3, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that means when you are born again, you see the kingdom of God, you enter the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We are already in the kingdom of God. We have inherited the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible speaks of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We have the kingdom of God as our inheritance. Hallelujah. That is why we have the indwelling Spirit of God. That is why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, how that we have been raised, we'll be made to sit with Jesus in the heavenly places. That is why Ephesians 1:3 says we are being blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's why Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 3 says we should set our minds on things above, where Christ is seated. Hallelujah. Where Christ is seated. So, you know, we have already been raised together with Jesus in the heavenly places. And that speaks of the kingdom of God.
Colossians 3 says, if you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So our lives are secure in Christ in God. Where is Jesus? In the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Where is Christ? Bible refers to, in fact, Jesus is not just in the kingdom. He owns the kingdom. That's why Bible refers to it as the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:13. Hallelujah. The kingdom of his dear son. Glory be to God. Now listen to this. So Galatians chapter 5 is not preaching that a believer will not inherit the kingdom of God. If he begins to exhibit these fleshly traits. No. Hallelujah. That's not what he's saying. That's why the contrast, which is the fruit of the spirit, the contrast, does not say those who practice these things will inherit the kingdom of God. Do you understand? That is, if it is by the conduct we are going to inherit God's kingdom, then verse 22 to 24 should have ended by saying, I've said also before that those who practice love, joy, peace, and long-suffering will inherit the kingdom of God. But that's not how he ends it. Because those conducts themselves are proofs that we are already in the kingdom of God. In fact, the reason why Paul is demanding and is preaching and is calling us to walk in these traits, in these fruits, is because we are in the kingdom of God. So he's showing us how we ought to behave. We should not be carried away by the world. Those who are practicing and walking in the things of the flesh, habitually, you know, making a practice of the things of the flesh, are not in the kingdom of God. So we must not take our example or our clues from them. Hallelujah. That's what he's teaching here. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we live in the Spirit. Hallelujah. The only thing that can make us not exhibit or, you know, manifest the things of the Spirit and manifest the fruit of the Spirit is not walking in the Spirit. That's why the instruction at verse 16 begins by saying, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. So we are in the Spirit. We are in the kingdom of God. We are in Christ. We are in God. Hallelujah. But we must walk in the Spirit to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. Now, it is the fruit of the Spirit that is the ultimate test of spiritual maturity, spiritual growth. Glory be to God. Now, look at this now. Glory be to God. Look at some of the instructions given to Titus, a pastor over a church. You notice that spiritual maturity, like I said yesterday, and in, I think I said it 2 days ago also, in the previous episodes, I said that spiritual maturity is tested much more in relationships. That is, it is in our relationship, in our walk towards one another, in our conduct towards one another, we know the man that is growing and the man that is not growing. Hallelujah. Now, it's possible a man is exhibiting, you know, the fruit of the Spirit to a degree, to an extent. So we can say such a person is growing, such a person is already maturing. But then there are folks who are exhibiting it in a greater, you know, with greater intensity. Such men are more mature. Hallelujah. So you can have a person who used to struggle with forgiveness before, and then right now forgives people, but once in a while still, you know, falls short, once in a while still makes mistakes, once in a while still battles with, you know, such a person is not really maturing as he ought to. Such a person is not stable. Praise God. But we can't say he's not maturing at all. That means he's already growing in the faith. You know, it's gradually. But then you can get to a point in your life where you are really a mature believer. You are not oscillating between, you know, those traits of the flesh and, you know, the things of the Spirit. We find it perpetually constant in your life that you are walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Where your default setting is walking in love, your default setting is forgiveness, your default setting is, you know, your default setting is simplicity, humility, meekness, the love of God, walking in joy towards men, walking in peace, long-suffering, believing the best of men. So, you know, those are traits of spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Titus chapter 2. Spiritual maturity and spiritual growth is judged primarily in the context of our relationships. It is men that will judge you as spiritually sound, as spiritually mature. It is men that will also judge you as spiritually immature. Hallelujah. And they are doing that well within their rights. They are well within their rights to do that. They are not overstepping their boundaries. Praise God. If I say you are not saved, then I'm overstepping my boundaries. Because the witness of the Spirit is within you as touching salvation. It is between you and God. You have faith. Bible says, do you say you have faith? Have it between yourself and God. So your faith is between you and God. But men do not see faith except by your works. James teaches this. He says, you know, James taught this in his letter. He says, you say I have faith. Oh, I have faith. But I will show you my own faith by my works. So men do not see our faith outside our works. So when a man says you are not mature because of this, because of this, because of this, and you know, the person is right from scriptures, don't say he's overstepping his boundaries. He's saying what he can see, because spiritual growth is discernible. It is something we can see, and it is tested and judged in the context of relationships. Praise God. Of course, we are not going to be judging it as, you know, as a self-condemnation thing. I'm not going to walk up to you and you are useless. You are not growing. When will you grow? You are too dead. You are too bad. That's not how to talk about it. I mean, but then we can give ourselves an honest appraisal of how we perceive our walk in God. Hallelujah. I can give you an honest appraisal to the end that you become better in your walk as a Christian. I can say to you that, see, it is wrong. It is wrong as a Christian to walk in malice and bitterness. It is wrong as a Christian to walk in envy. I've noticed traits of malice in you, and it is right for you to change and to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the saints. Give yourself more to the word. Give yourself more to prayer. Don't make excuses. And I'll be saying that from a position of what I can see and what I expect you to, you know, walk in as a Christian. Titus, look at this carefully. I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Things proper for sound doctrine. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith. Temperate and sound in faith. In love, in patience. Have you seen conduct? The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior. Not slanderous, not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. Older women also reverent. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, love, to love their children, to be discreet. Chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Have you seen? That the word of God may not be blasphemed. It will be judged, your spiritual maturity will be judged in the context of your relationships. Hallelujah. What are the things people say about you? What are the things people can say about you? Your husband, your wife, your friends. Hallelujah. Your neighbors, your boss at work, your colleagues at work, your classmates in school, what are the things they can say about you? How do they perceive your actions, your attitudes? How do they perceive your character? Glory to God. That Uber driver or taxify driver, how did the person perceive your conduct all through the journey? Are you one of those people who would get into a Uber taxi and then you begin to act like you are the owner of the car? Praise God. You know, are you like that? They come unnecessarily overbearing. You make life difficult for the person. The person begins to, you know, rethink his decision to be a driver. Hallelujah. Are you one of those who get into such, you know, cabs and taxis, and then the person says, please, I quickly want to buy fuel. I'm sorry. And then you say, don't you know you ought to have gotten fuel? Don't you know? What's he meant to do? Hallelujah. As though when you have your own car, you won't buy fuel while in transit. Praise God. You won't park to buy fuel while driving on the road, as though you won't be doing that. Praise God. That's impatience on your part. So it's a test of your patience. Sometimes you even find people do it for, you know, people who drive all these buses, commercial buses. You find the driver saying, I want to quickly buy fuel. And everybody is shouting and complaining. I don't get this point. Is it meant to have bought fuel in liters, in kegs, or what? Is it meant to have bought liters of fuel in kegs or to have tied it somewhere on the roof? I don't get this. It's meant to buy fuel. It's a sign of your impatience. Praise God. It's a sign of impatience. So little things like that, the way we conduct ourselves amongst men, the way we react to things, the way we respond to people, the way we respond to, you know, everything that is happening around us as believers, those are tests of spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. Those are tests of spiritual maturity. Our words to people. Sometimes your speech, just the way you responded to somebody may be the reason why the person will not feel good all through that day. Yet Bible says, let your words be seasoned with grace. Hallelujah. Let your words be seasoned with grace. Glory to God. That is, there's a way to speak to people. Back to Titus. Hallelujah. says that the word of God may not be blasphemed. In the context of our relationships, we can see a man who is growing. We can judge whether a man is growing. We can see a man who is growing, or we can see a man who is not growing in the context of relationships. Hallelujah. God's word can be blasphemed because of our conduct. So don't say, my attitude means nothing. My attitude does not matter. It really matters. It means something. Your attitude does not matter in salvation. Your attitude matters in the context of Christian living and spiritual growth. Your attitude, in fact, your attitude is very, very important. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Verse 6, Titus 2. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Have you seen sober-minded? In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. Show yourself to be a pattern. This is an instruction to a pastor. That is, he's meant to show himself as an example of good works. A pastor that says, no. It's not about my attitude. It's not about my works. It's going to raise believers who are going to be very, 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 very irresponsible in their attitude, in their character, in their conduct, in their living, you know, as believers in this world. Show yourself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. That these people should not be able to fault your presentation. They shouldn't be able to fault the things you are saying. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. Exhort bond servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. Hallelujah. Bond servants, employees, today, he says to exhort them to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, and to not answer back. Do you know the meaning of answering back? Answering back, do you know what it means? It means to not speak against. Glory to God. To not speak against. Glory to God. It means to not speak ill of the person. And then he says not pilfering. The KJV says not purloining. It means to not steal. To not embezzle. Praise God. Imagine how many Christians today who have been caught in office malpractices, you know, misappropriation of funds, embezzlement at the office, you know, because they are not aware that their conduct in their workplace is much more important than any other thing. Praise God. Believers should not engage in office fraud, business fraud. Hallelujah. Siphoning funds for the sake of your, you know, for the sake of your own business. For your own interest. It says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, all kinds of fidelity, loyalty, that is to the cause of the business, to the cause of your business, to the cause of your employer. Showing all good fidelity. Why? It says that they may adorn the doctrine of God as Savior in all things. Have you seen again? You will adorn the doctrine of Christ. The word adorn there actually means to make it honorable. Imagine that I've been trying to preach the gospel. I've been trying to reach my boss. I've been trying to share with him the gospel of Christ. I've been trying to bless him. I've been trying to do all that. And then one day, he just discovers I'm one of the people that have been stealing from the office. Praise God. There's nothing I want to say from that point onward or henceforth that will make any sense to him anymore. I have brought reproach and dishonor to the doctrine that I uphold. Your doctrine may be right, your doctrine may be true, but then you have brought reproach to that doctrine because of your conduct. People will reproach the message you are preaching because of your conduct. These are relationships that are, you know, very close relationships. This is not the same as getting on a bus to preach. Nobody really knows you. They don't know your attitude or your conduct. People are going to receive from you because they don't know you anyways. But this is about relationships. Hallelujah. I'm talking about relationships. Husband-wife relationship, children-parent relationship, boss-employee relationship, or employer-employee relationships. These are very important things. Your spiritual maturity will be tested and judged in the context of these relationships, much more than it will be judged anywhere else. Hallelujah. What about the church? We're going to come to this in subsequent teachings. Hallelujah. Look at this carefully as I begin to close. Titus chapter 3. Glory to God. Titus chapter 3. Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 1. The Bible says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Have you seen? It says to show all humility to all men, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable. Hallelujah. You see, it's about relationship. It's about relationship, to be subject to rulers and authorities. When you see a policeman, no matter how corrupt they are, no matter how corrupt he is, you shouldn't insult the man. Say, look at him, look at him, look at his edge. Praise God. Is it because they gave you a gun? Yeah, hey. If not that this world, if not that Nigeria is corrupt, is it you that is meant to be part of? Look at your big tummy. You don't get saucy because you feel that the person is corrupt. Be subject to all rulers and authorities. Hallelujah. You have to treat them with respect and honor. Glory to God. You have to treat them with respect and honor. This is very, very essential. Paul at Romans 13 verse 7 says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So you don't dishonor people because you feel that they are not conducting themselves in the manner that is right. As long as they are in a position of authority, you must accord them the respect and the honor that is due them. Praise God. This is Christian conduct. Glory be to God. Look, now, back to Titus chapter 3. Hallelujah. It says to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle. You know, all this is because of the doctrine, because of the gospel. Hallelujah. You don't want people speaking ill of the gospel. You don't want the word of God to be blasphemed because of your attitude, your conduct. Secondly, it is the right thing to do. For you as a Christian, you have the capacity, you have the ability to love men right. You have the ability to not reciprocate evil for evil. You have the ability to not, you know, revenge. You have the ability to be good, to be loving, to be perpetually at peace with people in spite of their own evil ways. You have the ability. It's in Christ. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. So it's an offshoot of paying attention to the word of God and giving yourself to prayer. So you are not struggling to walk in it. That's why it's a call to spiritual maturity. So it's time for you to sweat it out. It's time for you to sweat it out in the place of the word. It's time for you to sweat it out in the place of prayer. It's time for you to give yourself rigorously to the word of God till it has influence in your life in this regard. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 3, I'll close with this. Look at verse 8. The Bible says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So you see clearly from scriptures that this is about men, our relationship with men. It is men that are going to be the recipients of our spiritual maturity, or the recipients of the attitudes that flow out of spiritual immaturity. So let's, you know, get our loins, let's fasten our seat belts, let's pursue spiritual maturity as we ought to. It is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Do good to invite somebody. Put on your WhatsApp status, your social media handles, invite your friends, colleagues, family members, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the word, full of faith, full of prayers, full of the Holy Ghost, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.